Let every man be swift to hear, but slow to speak and slow to anger. For the anger of man worketh not the justice of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Dear sisters, dear faithful, this morning's epistle is taken from that of St. James, the Apostle. There were, of course, two apostles who bore the name of James. St. James the Greater was the brother of St. John, and both of them were the sons of Zebedee. St. James the Lesser is the author of today's epistle. His mother, Mary, was one of the holy women who remained courageously faithful to our blessed Lord during his passion. She was among those who went to anoint our blessed Lord's body a second time on Easter Sunday morning. St. James himself lived his whole life in Jerusalem, and he became its first bishop. He was renowned for his holiness of life, even among the Jews who opposed him. He was put to death by the Pharisees in AD 62, 8 years prior to the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans. The Pharisees cast him down from the pinnacle of the temple and stoned him to death for his confession of the faith. He wrote his epistle shortly before his death, and throughout it, he points out the antagonism that exists between God and the world, between the love of the one and the love of the other. And one of the issues that St. James addresses in this morning's epistle is that of the sin of anger. Anger, of course, is one of the seven capital sins. The capital sins are so called because they serve as the root and as the source for all of the many sins that men may commit. They are not the most serious sins. Accordingly, they are less grave than heresy, apostasy, despair, and hatred of God. But nevertheless, the capital sins are those to which men are first inclined, and they lead to a separation from God and to still greater sins. But men do not reach complete perversity suddenly. They are led to it progressively through a gradual descent to evil. The original seed, the source of this descent to evil, in the case of each and every man, is self-love. And out of self-love come the three concupiscences, which are enumerated in the first epistle of St. John the Apostle. There is the concupiscence of the flesh, which is the inordinate desire of what is or seems to be useful in the preservation of the individual or of the species. And thus from it arise the capital sins of gluttony and of lust. There is the concupiscence of the eyes, which is the inordinate desire of all that can please sight. In other words, of luxury, of wealth, and of money, which paves the way to worldly goods. From it is born the capital sin of avarice. And there is the pride of life, which is the inordinate love of our own excellence and of all that can emphasize that excellence, no matter how hard or difficult that may be. A man who yields to pride steadily becomes his own god, as did Lucifer. And so, from the pride of life proceeds all manner of sin. Pride or arrogance is one of the capital sins. But it's much more than that. Pride is also the root of four other capital sins. Pride is the root of vainglory, which is the inordinate love of praise and of honors. Pride is the root of spiritual sloth, which saddens the soul at the thought of the effort and the work required for holiness of life. Pride is the root of envy, which causes sadness over the good fortune of another. And finally, pride is the root of anger, a sin mentioned in this morning's epistle. Anger is an inordinate movement of the soul, which inclines men to repulse violently whatever displeases them. There is, of course, a righteous form of anger, which is no sin at all. One that arises out of justice. One that is moderated according to right reason. One that has as its object not the gratification of disordered passion, but rather the correction of another or the elimination of some evil. This, of course, was the attitude that our blessed Lord himself took when he angrily drove the money changers from the temple in order to eliminate the profanation of that holy place. And it is often the attitude taken by those in positions of authority whenever they administer correction for the sake of another or for the sake of the common good. Such an anger proceeds not from carnal feeling, but from right reason and from the Holy Ghost. The capital sin of anger, however, proceeds not from justice, not from right reason, not from the Holy Ghost, but rather from unbridled passion. It stems directly from pride or arrogance. And when it goes unchecked, it leads with great rapidity to several other sins. It leads, for example, to resentment, which, on account of an injury received, causes men to refuse to observe towards the person who offended them the ordinary courtesies of human life in society. The refusal, for example, to acknowledge someone, the refusal to greet him, the refusal to wish him well. Anger leads to enmity of heart, which inclines to vengeance, which belongs to God. It leads to insults towards one's neighbor. It leads to quarrels and to dissensions among men. These sins may well be called the capital sins of so-called traditional Catholics. So very common are they in the circles of so-called traditional Catholicism. We are all of us tempted to become angry at persons, at things, and at situations on a regular basis. Some of us more than others. But we must resist that temptation as soon as it begins. We must resist it with all of the strength of our will that we can muster. We must harness our angry passions as soon as they begin to flare up. We mustn't lose any time. We must mortify our thoughts and our emotions, especially without mortification. We could never hope to overcome the sin of anger. And we must mortify also the ultimate source of anger, which is our own self-love, our own exaggerated sense of self-importance. We must put aside our own self-centered thoughts, aims, likes, and dislikes. And we must take into consideration the good of others around us, as well as the common good. We must forestall any angry outburst by thinking before we act. And we mustn't speak or do anything under the influence of anger. We must wait until after it has subsided. We must endeavor to practice the virtues opposed to anger, namely charity, humility of heart, and patience. And we must especially try to imitate the meekness of soul practiced by our Blessed Lord. We have a wonderful picture of that meekness of soul all throughout the pages of the Gospel. That meekness flooded our Blessed Lord's soul. Meekness is the virtue which restrains the passion of anger in accordance with right reason. It permits anger only to the extent necessary and proper. And it is one of the principal marks of the true follower of Jesus Christ. Let us therefore endeavor always to be meek and humble of heart in imitation of the Sacred Heart of our Blessed Lord. And let us never underestimate the adverse effects of anger, not only for others, but for ourselves as well. Anger, more than any other passion, blinds the reason. It leads to an evil sadness which weighs down the soul and keeps it from doing the good that it might otherwise achieve. Anger is opposed to spiritual peace and joy, which are the fruits of charity. May we always cleave to the fruits of divine charity, and may God deliver us always from the saddening and hateful chains of all disordered anger. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.